Legal Matters on your station of choice. ZFM Stereo.
Hello and welcome back to Legal Matters on ZFM. My name is Rumbi Munembe and today we're diving into something we've all experienced, traffic and roadblocks that seem to be everywhere. As usual, if anything stands out to you or you just have a contribution, feel free to reach out to us on 0772-168-045. So helping us navigate this topic is Namatirai from Rijizo Legal Counsel. Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
So recently, the Zimbabwe Republic Police released a statement on social media. I'm sure so many of you have come across it. And it said, on the 4th of September 2025, police in Harare arrested two public service drivers, Wilson Yassin, 28, and Courage Tinashe Mupoperi, for attempted murder. The duo were driving combis, a Toyota Hiace and a Nissan Caravan, refused to stop at a police checkpoint along Chiremboya Road near Chans in Epworth. Instead of complying, they accelerated towards the police officers and then hashtag no unruly conduct by combi drivers. Now, attempted murder is a very serious charge and it raises some important questions. So we are going to ask if you can really be charged with attempted murder for failing to stop at a roadblock. What exactly are your rights and responsibilities when you come across one? And what do the police themselves have to do to make a roadblock lawful? So the first big legal question is, when does a traffic violation cross over into something as serious as attempted murder?
Thank you so much, Ruby, for raising such a pertinent question and for bringing forth this topic, which affects our day-to-day lives as drivers. So yes, a traffic violation can cross over into attempted murder if the driver's actions actually demonstrate what we call a clear intent to harm others. What is a clear intent to harm others? This is an intention or an action that actually shows that one intends to harm, other people. Convictions for attempted murder are unlikely, in my opinion, unless there is evidence of premeditated attempt or intent. What do you mean? There should be a clear intention. There should be evidence that someone actually intends, to create harm in such a way.
Okay, so this is an intention to harm. It doesn't have to be an intention to kill. Is that the case?
Let's say harm and kill are being used in the same light.
Okay.
Yes, because to harm, well, whether one can be injured or killed is an end result.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the intention would be there.
Okay.
Yes.
So if attempted murder is on one end of the spectrum, what other offenses could apply here?
Okay, so when we're looking at other offenses that could apply, we're looking at dangerous driving, which is in itself, a criminal offense.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at reckless endangerment, endangering those that are surrounding you, which means other drivers, which means even the police at a roadblock. There could also be an element of resisting arrest. These are the other offenses that could apply in this instance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so ma'am, we're seeing that, I don't know if the listeners have the same opinion, but attempted murder seems like a bit of a jump. And you've already said that it's unlikely in this case. So can you maybe explain how the prosecutors and the police usually go about deciding which charge to go with?
Okay, the prosecutors actually look at the evidence.
Okay.
Yes, and when they look at the evidence, they look at the first issue. Remember when we started, we were talking about intent.
Mm-hmm.
They actually look at whether there was intent in terms of the evidence that has been produced,
mm-hmm.
maybe by the investigating officer. The prosecutors are also going to look at the severity of consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have approached maybe a police station or maybe a police guard and you are speeding, you're driving recklessly, what consequences have been experienced as a result of your action? That is when the prosecutors can actually decide whether to proceed with the charge or not.
Okay. Would you think that maybe we're looking at this case as well, and, you know, considering the hashtag no to unruly conduct by combi drivers, would you say that this is also maybe something where it's more to do with sending a strong message? Because when you attach a strong charge like attempted murder to a crime, an offense that seems to be a little bit, that doesn't seem to be that serious, do you think it's just about the evidence, or is it also considering, you know, trying to send a message?
Yes, absolutely. In my opinion, the charge alone, attempted murder, is deterrent. So if one is a reckless driver, or if they have such tendencies, they then tend to think longer and harder before they commit this particular offense. Because you see, attempted murder, in terms of the Criminal Procedure Evidence Act, it comes with very harsh sentences. It's very severe. So one has to think, actually. So to me, it seems like the law is on course. It's a good projection of how far the law is actually going to protect, you know, pedestrians and maybe fellow police officers on the road.
I think you're right, because if, you know, the police are now scared, and if people are not scared as well, to, you know, it puts them in a very difficult place to enforce rules.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we have done, we've covered, you know, this very interesting case and how possible it actually is for them to be charged with attempted murder and for that conviction to actually stick. Now we want to move on to roadblocks in Zimbabwe, right? So let's talk about these roadblocks. Anyone who drives in Zimbabwe knows they're a regular part of life, but not all roadblocks are the same and not all of them are lawful. So let's break it down. What powers do the police actually have when setting up these checkpoints?
Okay, so obviously police authority is derived in terms of the Road Traffic Act, particularly Section 72, which actually states that a roadblock is legal if there's a legitimate reason, if the police are identifiable, if there are also clear instructions provided. We're also going to look at the maintenance of Peace and Order Act, which actually also then provides that a police could actually restrain, put certain restraints such as roadblocks to actually maintain peace and order in a country.
Mm-hmm. So is it necessary for the police to put up signs in the, before the roadblock, or just them being there in the road is enough?
The policemen, the police is actually obliged to put signs to warn the driving public of roadblocks. Why warn? It then means that someone, okay, if you are ordinarily approached with a sign as a driver, you are now having to maybe lessen the speed to actually expect what will be happening, to actually also control the unruly drivers that we were speaking of in the at the beginning. So yes, the signs are very necessary, in my opinion.
Okay, so what then makes, so you've already said that the signage is very important. What else makes a roadblock legal? So now we're looking at in terms of the uniforms that the police men or police women are wearing and their identification. Do they have to be wearing uniform when they stop people, or is it okay for an undercover police to stop people? And when they stop you, do they have to introduce themselves, identify themselves, or it's not a necessary thing?
Okay, yes, a roadblock is actually considered legal if there's a legitimate reason for setting it up.
Okay.
Yes, there has to be a legitimate reason, either to maintain peace and order, like I've mentioned. Police officers should be identifiable at all times and should provide clear instructions. If one is in doubt, they could ask for the police identification. It's actually allowed. It's a right which is accorded to citizens. Officers should also provide what we call badge numbers. Every officer who is supposed to, maybe, let's not say man a roadblock, but let's say any officer in Zimbabwe, a police officer should be identifiable by a badge number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually legitimate for a driver to ask for that badge number if they suspect that there could be anomalies. And also Well, in terms of handling suspicious roadblocks, the first thing is to remain calm.
Okay.
Yes, remain calm and cooperate with search police because you don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. We've had instances where sometimes bogus policemen have set up roadblocks, mm-hmm. and some people have failed to cooperate, mm-hmm. and found themselves in a very dangerous position because these bogus police people could be armed. Mm-hmm. So remain calm, cooperate where you can, seek clarification and the reason for this talk, avoid confrontation. Another thing is document everything. Right now in the age of digital age, if you suspect, it is also advisable to actually document such incidences, mm-hmm. so that if ever you're going to make a police report, at least you have correctly documented evidence which can then lead to conviction of these suspected bogus police people.
Okay, so I have two things, two follow-ups from that. So the first thing is, you know, you said there needs to be a legitimate reason for this roadblock. So does that mean, so this is obviously at the discretion of the police, right? Okay, and then do they have to disclose that reason to you as the driver when you are stopped? Do you need to ask what is the reason for this roadblock, or just by them being there is enough proof or enough telling signs that actually there's a reason why this roadblock has been erected?
Well, really it's two things. Mm-hmm. The first thing, police are mandated in terms of the maintenance of peace and order aid to actually mm-hmm. set these roadblocks. So also in terms of should be section 66 of the constitution to actually restrain the public, but within reason. Mm-hmm. So sometimes due to these roadblocks being creatures of statute, they may not necessarily mm-hmm. need to explain to you the reason, but also as a responsible citizen, just to enforce your rights, mm-hmm. you may just allowed to ask what is the reason for this, what are they trying to look out for, so that you're also informed. It's a symbiotic relationship, both are allowed.
Okay, all right, thank you so much. So my second question is a follow-up on, you said that on your issue where you said that roadblocks, when you are now approaching them or when you suspect that this is a bogus roadblock and you need to remain calm and even document it. So what if, or are there scenarios where you'd recommend that people don't document, especially when, because we had a segment or just an episode where we touched on the possibility of then being charged with obstruction of justice when you are now recording. How would you go about this process in order to be enforcing your rights as well as trying to maintain that peace between you and the police officer?
Okay, yeah, Rumbi, that's a thin line for sure. And obviously it's a gray area, mm-hmm. because once one records, there's this temptation to actually put it out there. Mm-hmm. Now there's social media, Facebook, or to post on and it could constitute cyberbullying.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a very thin line. I would suggest that by recording, probably one could just maybe press the record button on the phone or maybe, but not the camera. Mm-hmm. Don't encourage that, because the camera is, you are encroaching into privacy. Mm. You are suspecting, but you haven't really proven that this is a bogus, police stop. So if once you put a camera into it, the police may have a tendency to resist, even if they were bogus, even if they were actually really legitimate police, people do resist cameras. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest maybe just a recording of the conversation without the camera, but at the end of it all, the evidence which I suggest should be very much critical in this is mm-hmm. what we mentioned earlier about the badge number, mm-hmm. about the police force number, about the police identification. If those ones could be taken down and recorded, those are legitimate rights that, drivers actually have. And those records which, in my opinion, may not tamper with issues to do with cyberbullying, maybe disrespect of privacy, etc.
Okay, thank you so much. I think you raised such an important point. We are in here in this age that we're in, this digital age, we are very trigger happy, right? We get so excited about these things, and in the attempt to enforce our rights, I think we do create more problems, especially when you take the matter to social media. So I think I hope the viewers, the listeners, are taking note of this, and that don't be too quick, you know, to start posting things. So it's just for your safety and for when and if that situation arises, because again, it's about interpretation. Once you bring a camera out, the person may become, you know, even if it was okay, even if what they were doing was right, they're now already feeling attacked. Mm-hmm. So we've looked at what, you know, the police should do, but let's flip it. You know, what are the responsibilities of drivers at a roadblock? If you're stopped, what documents must you have by law?
Okay, so when stopped at a roadblock, drivers are required to remain calm, like we said. If the police asks for identification, have your passport, have your driver's license, or have your national ID. These are documents that you know, you're supposed to furnish the police with. Make sure that your vehicle has valid insurance. And then there's another aspect to it. Third number plate. That is very critical. Make sure that your vehicle has that third number plate right on the top of your screen, so that at least you don't have issues. Also, one thing I would want to urge our viewers is comply with instructions. The police are a creature of the statute. They are empowered to carry out certain actions within the confines of the law. So they are going to ask you to identify yourself, to get out of your vehicle, to maybe drive to the nearest police station. Comply with instructions as much as you can, because failure to comply can lead to dire consequences, which can include arrest and hefty fines.
Okay, so thank you. You've already spoken about the third license. So what's the legal requirement for your vehicle to be considered roadworthy?
Okay, for a vehicle to be considered roadworthy, we are looking at functional brakes.
Okay.
Right, so now, family motors, number brakes.
Naturally.
You know, because the moment you do that, you're about to get into an accident, you will see someone or another car. Have proper tires. Let's not normalize buying secondhand tires for our vehicles. Yes, tires should be brand new. They should be fitted properly by experts. They should be checked regularly as well. And then also make sure you've got all the safety equipment. I've noticed a tendency for us drivers to have this safety equipment only kind of push-up needs.
That's when people start to go in.
But normalize having your fire extinguisher, your reflective vests, your triangles. At least, even if these things are not required by the police, you have them for your own safety.
Okay, so ma'am, you've said so much, right? And I think there are people who are already benefiting from this. But if someone wants to do more research and to learn exactly where they can find this information, perhaps they missed something and they want to then go and find these things so that they can maybe do a checklist, where can they go to find this information?
Okay, information to do with safety on the roads, first and foremost, the Road Traffic Act. I know people do not like reading legal documentation, but people should prioritize, you know, in this digital age, Google. Just search on what I need to do to actually learn more about how I should conduct myself as a driver. Also ask. There are so many people. There's the Road Traffic Safety Council. I think it has a website. Just go there. Just go and read. I hope and I really, really feel that they should have a responsive platform where actually people can ask and then there's a response. Now in the age of chatbots, such organizations should have, you know, chatbots where someone can actually ask and get instant answers on certain things that they may need to know of. Then another thing is consult, us in the legal field, legal people. We are versed sometimes with these acts because we meet these offenses on a day-to-day basis, and we should be able to help as well.
No, so thank you. Now I just thought of something. Are you able to also then just ask the police officer, let's say you are you're at a roadblock, can you just ask them some of these things where, okay, so do I need this? Do I need this? Is that advisable?
Absolutely. My take on that, Rumbi, is inasmuch as it's a legal question, it's also a question of personality and character.
Okay.
Yes. Like we said the other time, earlier on in our conversation, remaining calm under such situations, also calls for politeness. I will not approach my producer as an authority with confrontation. Be polite, don't know it all. Ask from a perspective where you really need assistance. Say, can you assist me? I really need to know a decent thing. Even when you're asking for police identification, you're not going to say, it's page 2, but that's not it. Man, no. I wanted to know who you are. Sometimes people are setting up this podcast. Be polite, remain calm, and be confrontational. I'm sure you can get all the help you need from that.
100%. So thank you so much, ma'am. So let's do a quick recap of what we have learned today. The first being the most mind-grabbing is that you actually can be charged with attempted murder if you drive recklessly and you show intent to kill. But yes, it is unlikely, but this is something that can happen. So, and roadblocks are legal and police officers are people that were given these powers, and likewise we must respect those powers that they have been given and just comply. And when you are now approaching them, you are polite and making sure that you don't confront unnecessarily. So comply in the moment and challenge unlawful conduct later through the proper channels by documenting that interaction, which means getting the badge number, getting the name of the police officer. Ma'am, is there anything else you'd like to add before we go?
Thank you so much, our viewers, for listening. Remember, compliance with the law is non-negotiable, particularly traffic laws where recklessness could lead not only to endangerment of your own life, but of other drivers and pedestrians. So we must be found to be on the right side of the law always.
Yes, okay. So thank you so much, ma'am, for helping us unpack these issues today. And thank you to our listeners for joining us here. And remember, we would love to hear from you. So do make sure you send us a message on our WhatsApp number, which is 0772-168-045. Until next time, drive safe, know your rights, and let's all play a role in keeping Zimbabwe's roads safe. My name is Rumbi Munembe, and this has been Legal Matters on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station.